Welcome to the Regulating AI podcast. Join host Sanjay Puri as he explores the dynamic and developing world of artificial intelligence governance. Each episode features deep dives with global leaders at the forefront of regulating AI responsibly, tackling the challenges using AI can bring about head-on and enabling balance without hindering innovation.
Welcome to the Regulating AI podcast. We are going live from the Big Data and Tech Expo in London on February 6, 2028, 2025. I guess time is flying very fast. I am so glad to be talking to Dr. Mandy Crawford Lee. She's with the University Vocational Awards Council. Thank you so much for being on our podcast.
You're welcome. So my organization is commonly known as UVAC. And we're a UK-based organization representing 80 higher education institutions, including around 75 publicly funded universities across the UK.
So, Dr. Lee, would you prefer to call be called Dr. Lee, Mandy?
Mandy is fine.
Okay. So, Mandy, you're here at this AI conference, Big Data conference. There's a lot that is going on in terms of education. So there are a lot of questions. We have a global listener base, policymakers, et cetera, thought leaders. Some of the things that I talk to them about is the upcoming transformation that we're going to see in terms of the workforce. And that implies changes in how we teach our students, all the way from the way the workforce evolves. So in terms of teaching, has AI made any differences? The biggest thing that we hear constantly is about personalized education. In the sense, just like you probably understand certain subjects probably better, or most subjects better than I do, whether it's math, science, etc., and some other students do, the message is we shouldn't be teaching everybody the same thing. Maybe there should be some level of personalization, and AI allows you to do that. So that would be a question, your thoughts on it, probably making a difference just briefly in your education. Then I want to move to the workforce side.
It's a very interesting question and quite a tough one to answer. Because if you think about individual university institutions, they're all very autonomous. There are different types and sizes with different missions and visions. My organization represents that little bit of that slice of higher education that is concerned with the workplace, with teaching and learning programs that speak to roots into the professions, that are very focused on the work-based as a context, as a place in which learning can happen. But there's an awful lot of variability, I think, within university leadership around the place of AI and digital technology. Mm-hmm. If you think back 5 years ago, the biggest impact in terms of the COVID pandemic was, in effect, the transference, the substitution of classroom or face-to-face provision online. Mm-hmm. Sometimes without the better use or the best use of technology, mm-hmm. but potentially just in effect transferring classroom-based provision to an online platform or in a more blended sort of way of learning. So I think actually we're talking about a lot of variability within higher education as to the investment in the use of technology, including the infrastructures and the structures around the way in which AI is dealt with in terms of regulation, mm-hmm. in terms of assessment, mm-hmm. in terms of quality, and in terms of ethics. Mm-hmm. So a very variable picture. So I think actually what we're seeing is really less about AI adoption and more about a shift in cultures and practices mm-hmm. that speaks to the way in which we support individual teachers and tutors to be able to teach our generation AI mm-hmm. either in classrooms or those already in work to be allowed to actually explore and utilize digital technology in a universal sort of way that actually we can speak to proper pedagogical frameworks that allow teachers to be able to explore and express whatever the discipline, whatever their subject specialism or expertise, that allows them to capture and utilize that technology to the best possible outcomes for their individual students or learners.
So I think that's excellent feedback. Mandy, AI has the potential for doing instant language translation. So I'm just going to take you in a couple of different directions and tell me if you can help here, because from a policy standpoint, from a regulatory standpoint, it has implications. Do you think AI has the potential to democratize education where any kid anywhere in the world does not have a barrier of language, does not have a barrier of distance, and also it teaches him or her based on their capabilities, but it has that opportunity to level up, because education is the biggest lever upper that you can ever find? Any thoughts on that?
In theory, yes. Mm-hmm. I think in practice, the situation might be a little different. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can make too many assumptions about accessibility, for example. Mm-hmm. Another really important aspect about the way in which learners, whatever their context, however they're learning, access technology or utilize technology. So I think this is part of the bigger positionality around education, including higher education, about how they do actually interact with their student body within their cohort of learners. Because I think universities are very focused on curriculums that meet requirements, particular standards, for example, particular occupational standards also. So I think actually it has in theory the potential to be a leveler. But actually, we know all too often that there are lots of things that potentially are unintended consequences of a rollout of something like artificial intelligence to support somebody's learning journey. So I think there is lots to explore in terms of, well, what does that AI curriculum look like? What does that application look like? Mm-hmm. And do we have the expertise within our practitioners to be able to speak with authority around pedagogy as well as practice?
So what you're saying is we need to see how it kind of plays out, because there's obviously a lot to be learned. Let's just move to the workforce. You are preparing young men and women to enter the workforce because, you know, that's the skills that some of your institutions do. But let's say the workforce is going to change dramatically. At least that's the assumption that is being made, and it is slowly changing. When we are in the middle of a change, it's hard to see the change happening. Certain jobs will be created and certain jobs are going to be transitioned out. And some of them are happening already, whether it's in coding, computer programming, customer support, etc. What are your thoughts? Because this is something policymakers are grappling with or should be grappling with around the world, because big changes are going to happen, and sooner than later. Your thoughts, or what is this something you're working on?
Well, it's interesting how we kind of, you know, view the, you know, the economy and the workforce. Mm-hmm. That's the nature of workforces. It's the nature of the economy that change happens.
Yeah.
And actually, we can't say today what the jobs of tomorrow are going to be or how they might be described, for example. Mm-hmm. And we know that in terms of professional standards, mm-hmm. Of competency, not all the professions are explained or explored yet. You know, they are emerging in response to economic demand. I think as a group of universities or educators within an emerging context or an emergent context, I think actually my concern is not just for those individuals leaving school or colleges and entering the workforce for the first time, but those already in work. those in the workforce in 2030, where we expect some of the impact of AI to really have been demonstrated, are already in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So my institutions are really interested in the work that they do with employers to make sure that whatever the subject, whatever the industry or occupational area, that people are equipped with the adaptive powers to be able to pivot and flex within their own learning, to be able to have those up-to-date skills and requirements to be effective in the workplace.
So I think you made an excellent point, Mandy. It's not just the people who are coming out, but the reskilling of an existing workforce is also very important. Do you think governments, policymakers have a role to play in this, in your view?
Absolutely. We're looking at, you know, whether or not employers, for example, are investing in their workforce, mm-hmm. whether or not they're putting on the right levels of CPD activity or continuous professional development activity. Mm-hmm. Are they investing in training? Are they investing in the right skills, for example, for mm-hmm. not just for today, but for tomorrow? We can talk in those terms. So my university members are very heavily involved in publicly funded programs in the UK, including in apprenticeships. So apprenticeships that really talk about roots into the professions, mm-hmm. including some of those traditional professions, such mm-hmm. as in nursing, in policing, in law, for example, and in new areas like in sales, for example, and mm-hmm. everything to do with digital technology. And I think actually we need to think about actually, well, what is the market failure that policymakers in government need to address in terms of investment to ensure that as an economy, the UK mm-hmm. can compete globally and that actually businesses can compete domestically? So it's a really important, I think, a really important field for policymakers to think about in terms of the scarcity of resource and where investment should be.
So think about the scarcity of resource, where the investment should be. Mandy, do you see AI as an opportunity, or does it scare you, or do you see it as a problem?
I've just expressed some caution. I think actually in terms of education, mm-hmm. whether that be schools or colleges or higher education institutions, including universities, I think there are going to be pockets of excellent leadership, pockets of great investment, but I think we're slightly behind the curve in terms of leadership. And I think about, you know, what was the big sort of area of discourse last year in 2024? It was about ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. And I think actually we don't have sufficient resource and investment into practitioner development around their own digital competences. Mm-hmm. So I worked with a number of other countries across Europe. I worked with Greece, Italy, and Turkey to think about what digital competences might look like for practitioners, whether it be in further education or in higher education. And actually what we find is that notions and concepts like ChatGPT just 2 years ago were not even a feature. Principles mm-hmm. around universal design, digital first, for example, absolutely. You know, the use of AI, AR, VR, all of those kind of, shorthand mm-hmm. Examples of what we mean when we talk about digital or technology. ChatGPT wasn't a feature. So you can see the pace at which things are emerging. So all of last year, there was a lot of focus within education around how do we mitigate the risk of plagiarism or the use of AI, for example, in place of individuals expressing mm-hmm. their own thoughts and opinions and actually exploring ideologies. That actually means that they've understood, they've got the underpinning knowledge to be able to take that knowledge and apply it elsewhere. So you can see how the pace at which institutions like my members need to be reacting and also planning for potential and the next ChatGPT as a concept, as an idea, and how that impacts on education, on teaching, on learning, and on assessment.
So they need to stay ahead, they need to stay abreast, Mandy, is what you're saying. Mandy, there is a digital divide in the sense, in terms of income and, in people who can access. Do you worry from an education standpoint that AI might not have an equal opportunity for the affluent versus the less affluent? Is that divide going to continue? And it could be around the world in terms of nations. You talked about some countries who have the latest technology and access might go ahead versus others. Some within the country itself, there could be that impact too. Do you worry about
Again,
that?
It's theory, absolutely. We know that there are disparities, you know, in education already. Is that about the use of AI? I don't know. I don't think actually it'd be any different from any other barriers or risks to opportunity. I think some of them will be perceived, some of them will be absolutely real and realized. I think actually in terms of the way that universities and other education providers support learning, how are they deploying and how are they investing, for example, learning technologies mm-hmm. and technologists mm-hmm. support access and facilitation to ensure that people are supported?
That's awesome. Final word to our listeners who are listening, who are policymakers or think tanks and business leaders, from someone who is an educationalist focused on AI. Give your final message to them.
As I've already said today, I think actually it's not about the adoption of AI. It's about cultures and mindsets. I've said that certainly in UK, universities have invested more in bricks than clicks. I think they have an awful lot of catching up to do. They're just thinking about the way that digital is impacting on university life, on the way that learning happens. We have to go beyond just thinking about mode and method, but thinking about the way in which pedagogy is structured, whether it's the classics or whether it's around professional sort of development pathways in things like medicine or nursing or law or banking. So really thinking about actually how do we utilize AI as a tool as we adopted a wholesale change and reformed the World Wide Web, as we adopted wholesale change in terms of the way that actually teaching happens. So that would be my advice.
That's, I think, very important advice, Mandy. Thanks so much for taking the time with everything else that's going on. I think our listeners will find your insights very, very helpful in terms of education, in terms of the workforce, et cetera. So really, thank you for being on our podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Regulating AI Innovate Responsibly podcast. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on the show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you'll never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.